Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Now, we always hold people accountable. General managers, players, teams, we do it all the time. Today, I need to hold my partner accountable. BT, we're going to need an apology out of you.
For?
Francisco Lindor is playing like an MVP.
He is?
You said he was washed up.
Well,
Francisco Lindor is playing like, are you ready? He is playing like an, forget All-Star, he's playing like an MVP. Are you ready to apologize to the masses?
I mean, it took him long enough. All right, so, I believe in accountability as well. I think if you have a show and you're not accountable, then you don't have a good show. You've got to be able to react to changes. When circumstances change, you got to react to them. So I want to be clear about that. And I've seen, by the way, you tweeted something. Like, you couldn't just wait 5 minutes to start the show.
Oh,
I'm going
to
hold my partner accountable. He's going to apologize today. Ooh, ooh, ah. So let me just get this clear, Sal. Apologize for what? Like, that's a legitimate question. Because to me, the two things that I've said really from minute one going back to Tiki, because that's where it started.
Yeah.
About Lindor, number one.
Was this last summer before you and I together?
Before that one. Starting his first year when, okay. Oh, yeah, by the way, he hit 230.
Okay.
Should I apologize for when he hit 230? Just checking.
No, we'll give you a pass on that one.
So my main gripe and my main criticisms with Lindor were, number one, he wasn't the player that he was in Cleveland, and the stats continue to bear that out, although he's been red hot, and I give him respect there. And number two, too often, his stats were empty, meaning, you know, crawls out of the chute, Mets lose a lot of games, he rallies late, he puts up some hollow numbers, and the Mets don't do anything, and on paper, in totality, the numbers look very good. So, I mean, I apologize for what?
Well, that has not been the case this year. You're right, and I was frustrated with him because I thought this was going to be his best year as a Met, and by the way, it's going to be his best year as a Met. The problem is it didn't get started until mid-May. So there is an issue there where he's a notorious late starter. However, you look at his last two seasons, in total, they've been really solid. This year is going to be the best of the bunch, and right now they're not empty because the Mets are in it as far as the playoff spot goes.
Yep.
And he's driving in big runs, big hits. He's doing it with power. He's doing it from both sides of the plate. He plays every freaking day. He's playing gold glove defense. Like, he may not have been named in the All-Star team, which was a ridiculous snub yet again. He's going to win a gold glove. And he is on pace right now. Like, he's playing at an extremely high level where he is working his way. If he does this the rest of the way, and it's a big if, but if he does this the rest of the way, he's going to be in the MVP conversation.
Well, I got news for everybody. If this was the Lindor that showed up from day one,
right,
he'd be one of my favorite players. He actually, outside of Judge, he'd be probably my second favorite player in New York City. I think that there's a misperception, like when people hear my take on Lindor, or more specifically, because right now, he's been great.
Right.
Let me be clear about that. He's been absolutely fantastic. And this is the player that I thought the Mets acquired from the Guardians at that point.
Right.
But if he was this player from day one, I think that it would be very different. And there would be nothing to apologize for, because I would have been laying on the platitudes as thick as you can. But also, don't forget about this, Sal. So if I'm going to apologize, which, by the way, spoiler, I'm not prepared to do yet. I'm not going to do that yet.
I got two more things for you. Maybe get you to change your mind a little bit.
I figured there was more than the first thing that you fired. All good. He maybe should apologize because he started the season on opening day in the number two spot, and his batting average as a number two hitter so far this year is .094. Then they juggled him around. Well, let's maybe put him in the three spot, get him going there. And his batting average in the three hole is .235. So, I mean, there's a lot of things here, and the most recent sample, and it's not a little small sample, Lindor's been balling for a minute.
Right.
Like, he looks amazing. I mean, tap the brakes. He's still on pace for 86 RBIs, an OPS of under 800. And, oh, yeah, by the way, right now, today, while I respect what he's done the last month, big time, he's been great.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the 51st highest OPS in baseball. It's not Mark Vientos making $900,000. He's still a highly paid player who was expected to do this.
Right, but if you take out his slow start, and obviously he can't because that's part of it, what he's been doing the last month and a half is MVP-type stuff. And he's gotten the numbers to a point where they're respectable now, but where they were, I mean, think about how bad they were and to where they're at now. This is an incredible run. Now, if he continues this, the OPS is going to be over 800. Again, he plays Gold Glove defense. The batting average is right now at a what most people would sign for 250. Not for him. He's a career 270 hitter. But the way he's going, he's going to get that up. He's also batting leadoff. He's going to drive in over 90 runs. He's going to steal 30 bases. He might hit, again, 30 home runs. My biggest issue with you, because I'm not going to disagree about his first year. I'm not going to disagree about his slow starts, especially this year where... Because it was the third straight year where he had, I mean, forget his first year. I'm talking about after first year in New York, third straight year where he started slow. Like, even I was like, come on now. And I'm a Lindor backer.
Yep.
But the thought of him not being able to hit from the left side of the plate, talking about him being an exclusive right-handed hitter moving forward, or the thought of him being washed up, those are where I take the biggest issue.
Yeah, I mean, listen, did I ever use the words washed up? I know I talked about maybe he's got to become exclusively a right-handed hitter.
You may not have, but...
I don't know if I used the words washed up, but I certainly implied that he... And not even implied. Like, there was never anything where people needed to interpret how I felt about Francisco Lindor. All I do, okay, is react to what I see. And, guys, for the first 230 at-bats this season, he was a 220 hitter. I mean, that's not me manipulating stats or taking something positive and obscuring it and illuminating something that's bad to fit my narrative. Like, I'm not one of these guys who says something and then just holds on for dear life to be proven right. I honestly have no problem saying, my bad, I was wrong, but let's not get it completely twisted. You know, this is what he's paid to do, and let's see if he finishes up the season this way, because I got news for everybody again. The next 1-for-20 skid that he has, he's hitting 240 again. I mean, so that's the reality. And by the way, I'm going to take a little issue with our friends here at the station, you know, and they're not alone, but like, yeah, the afternoon show, right?
Yeah.
And they're on the apology tour. You're looking for an apology. Yeah. With Lindor, right? Yeah. Like what was said about Lindor was factually incorrect. That's what I find not offensive. I don't take it that seriously.
Well, who are they looking for apologies from?
I don't know that they mentioned names. I'm not even saying that they were implying me, but if they were, that which they may have been, because I don't know that anybody's been louder with the Lindor criticisms than me, and I'll own that because, you know, I said it early. I stuck by it. I didn't see things change enough. They're changing now, but it's also year four. Like, that's the crazy part here. It's not month four. It's not like Jalen Brunson 2 months after the Knicks got him, and I'm sitting here saying, oh, Mike, if he played poorly, oh, what are you doing? I mean, I have given Lindor so much time to get off the tarmac, and he's off the tarmac, and his altitude is increasing by the day. But this notion, you know, I forget Evan's exact words, whatever, like, you know, Lugie, everybody throw apologize for what? Yeah. Apologize for what? He starts the season number two. He's not good enough. They put him three, mix it up. He goes to three, not good enough. They put him first to shake things up. Like, you shouldn't have to move mountains for great players to do their job. So I do fully admit he's been awesome. He is exciting. He is bouncy. He is fluid. He's got pop. He's picking it at short. He's running the bags. He has energized the Mets, and he looks great. Now keep it up.
Do you think he will?
This feels as real as it's felt for him, in my opinion.
Agreed 1,000%.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards saying yes to that, by the way.
This is the first time. I thought this was going to be the year from the beginning that he was going to have finally, after the first year struggles in New York, two good years number-wise at the end of the year, this was going to be the year where he put it all together as a Met finally. And after April and May, or the beginning of May, even I had to jump off a little bit. And I'm with you on that, like... For the people saying, oh, apologize for ripping Lindor, no. Because there's a reason why people were criticizing Lindor. There's a reason why he's not an all-star. It's his own fault because he didn't get the year started the right way. So as much as he did get snubbed, and it's ridiculous three straight years, and he should be an all-star this year even more than the last couple years, there's a reason why he's being criticized or was being criticized. So there's no need for an apology. But you did take it a step further. So I didn't hear what the afternoon guy said. I did see some tweets about it. If they were coming at you directly, do you have a statement for them specifically?
No. Okay. I kiss my ass or something like that? I'd have to see for sure if it was about me. And even if it was about me, it's all good. I don't take that stuff too serious. Unless it gets serious, I don't take it too serious. I like those guys.
Yeah.
I think
come at me now.
Well, I think that they're off base with certain things. Like they think that I'm off base with certain things. Right, that's the way of the world. It's all good. I don't judge. I genuinely like them. But I don't know if it was about me. But I just like the narrative that if it was about me or for you or right. for others, and we'll get to these calls coming up, I'm sure we're going to have to fend off a lot of Met fans, and that's fine. I'm here for it today. But this notion that I just created and concocted this story around Francisco Lindor, and it was so obscenely false and not representative of the player that he was. This is year four. Again, this is not month four. He's making $35 million a year, and he was a superstar when he came over from the Garden. Now he looks like a superstar again. I will say that. I don't know that I said that in the first 8 minutes of the show. He looks like a superstar. But you know what I say to that? It's about time. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal, inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, let's get to Spencer first up in Manhattan with BT and Sal on the Fan. Spence, what's happening? Even his dog wants a piece of
what's up, Spencer?
Spence, let's go, buddy. All right, Spencer. Yeah, you ready?
Hey, no, I'm here.
Buddy.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Hey, first off, I just wanted to say I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. I'm a Mets fan. I mean, a Mets fan, and I'm also a season ticket holder. I love you guys. I mean, I'm a surgeon. I have a very stressful day. I use you guys to help me get through my day, and I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Call
this
you
guy's
out.
Cutting people open. We're yelling about Lindor.
yeah. No, I got to call you out on Lindor.
Who, Sal?
Specifically. No, BT.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I remember because I was driving to work and I heard BT, Lindor's washed up. Bat speed anymore. He used the term bat speed. He said he does not have the bat speed anymore.
That's true.
And
it's true.
That he's done.
Now hold on, Spence. I'm not hanging up on you. By the way, so to be clear, I remember specifically talking about bat speed. Because there was a statistic that I was privy to that actually measures it, that actually said his bat speed was not as quick as it used to be. So that I'll stand by that. Now, maybe it's regenerated a bit, whatever. Maybe his pitch recognition is better, whatever. Did I actually use the words washed up?
Yeah, I do remember hearing you saying that you thought at that time he was done, that he just would not be
not done. Washed up.
I don't remember specifically.
Don't remember that,
you might have, but you definitely alluded to him being washed up or being done.
Well, I said that he should probably not hit from the left side, but I was reacting to the data based on his bat speed.
Well, I mean, but still, you said it, and that you definitely said, but I think you also alluded to him never being able to, or you thinking you would never be able to get to this level of play again. you let that marinate for a second.
Well, I just want to make sure that was said. Yeah. It may have been. It may have been. No, I'm not running from the fact that I absolutely doubted whether or not he could get back to this level because this is what he was in Cleveland, which is why I was so pumped when the Mets actually acquired him 4 years ago. I did doubt that he could get back to this point. But it was also about sustaining. I mean, I've always said, he's going to look like a stud for 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks, but you know, the intermittent up and down intervals, he was too volatile. Like superstars aren't so hot and then so invisible. And it was frustrating. And that I'll certainly stand by, of course. Let me get Larry up in Westchester, BT and Sal on the Fan. Larry, what's happening?
BT, Sal, how you guys doing?
Hey, bud. Hello, Larry.
Listen, the last time I called, I don't know if you remember, Sal, I was burying Lindor just before he got hot and the Mets were terrible. Even BT agreed with me. He said he would try to trade Lindor to the Dodgers. They're the only ones that can afford his contract and they need a shortstop. I won't apologize for it, but I've been wrong so far. But the key is, let's see him continue to do it now and continue this run that we're on.
I don't think people like yourself, Larry,
thanks
for the call. We appreciate you checking. I don't think, to your point, BT, like nobody was making this up. This was not an anti-Francisco Lindor thing. There was reason for the criticism. But I always felt what he did well, I was appreciative of it because I think he's a good ball player. He's a guy that wants to play every freaking day. I mean, the day his wife gave birth, he went to the stadium to make sure he got in there, be with his teammates.
And I gave him props for that. Even when he slammed his finger in the door in L.A., he missed playing. Only one game a couple of years ago on that West Coast trip. I've always respected his desire to suit up every day and strap it on. I do it. I always have.
Plays every day. And the numbers the last two seasons, while you can certainly say they were empty numbers, because to a large degree they were, but the numbers were still there. Now, was it Cleveland level? No, but the numbers were still there. At some point, Lindor needed to kick it into another gear with the Mets. I always felt it was going to be this year. This year started out as one of his worst in April and May.
He was 1-for-31.
Even worse than his first year here. That's how bad it was in April and May, where he was, as you said many times, the numbers showed it, one of the worst players in the sport.
Yes.
He has, however, turned it around, maybe not to the Aaron Judge degree after he had a slow April, but he has turned it around so much so that he should be now, if he continues this, he's going to be in the MVP conversation, certainly playing at an all-star level, and starting to, for the first time in a Mets uniform, resemble the player that he was with the Cleveland, then Indians, now Guardians. That's what we're seeing now. So there was legitimate reason to doubt Francisco Lindor. It's not hate. Mets fans wanted to love him, but he's now doing what we expect.
Yeah, and by the way, like, if he was acquired, say he was a prospect, right? A highly high, like an Uber prospect, and he came here and, you know, he's a little slow to pop, and I could see then if maybe some would interpret criticisms being too harsh or too early given the stage in which he was at. Because baseball, you know, generally takes a while to kind of get acclimated to that level. Like, there's a reason why there's a lot of guys who are 4A players. They just can't cut it against, you know, big league pitching. That's not the case. Lindor, you know, came here in the absolute prime of his career with a ton of at-bats, postseason experience, asked the Yankees about the postseason. Right. He took them deep. And he wasn't the guy that he was. He wasn't the guy that I watched play against the Yankees. And again, the data is irrefutable because he was 35 points higher on the average with the Guardians and almost 70 points higher with the OPS with the Guardians. And that includes this incredible run that he's on. So, you know, there's a little nuance here because it was never as simple, even though it may have been presented by some this way. Lindor's atrocious. Lindor's the best. Like, there was always nuance. I get it. The lineup around him hasn't been amazing. You know, he got off on the wrong foot with the Baez stuff and the thumb and the thumbs and the situation with Jeff McNeil. And then the flip side is, as Sal brings up, and he's right, he does play every day. He does have great energy. He wants to be here.
I think he's a
great teammate. He can run. He can pick it all around. Right. Five-tool guy. No doubt. But at the end of the day, no sport is defined by statistics as much as baseball. They are irrefutable. And just, again, you want to come for me today? Let's go. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. Understand this, though. Still has the 51st best OPS in baseball.
Oh, you can't help yourself. You got to give in.
But it's not the 17th, not the 25th, not the 30th. There's 50 guys, 50 in baseball that have a better OPS. I'm just bringing some facts to the table amongst the energy. You know what I mean? All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan. It's Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. 888-808-1019 is the number. Back to you in a moment. So one of the things about this medium, you know, unlike the old days, like, and we love them, and they're legends, but let's face it, I mean, Mike and Chris could say anything back then, and if Reisman didn't write about it, nobody remembered.
Right.
You know? I feel like Mushnick's still writing about it.
Same column.
Oh. For 30 years.
Ripping Mike?
No, you didn't get the joke. I think he's written the same column for 30 years.
Oh, yeah, well.
The alternate uniforms. Anyway, whatever.
Right, I got you.
So there are receipts now, right? And, you know, I would like to present one that may or may not influence the court of public opinion. I don't know. I'm just going to present it.
Okay.
It's popped up. January 7th, 2021.
Okay.
It's a while ago. It's a minute, as the kids say.
Yeah.
Would you like me to read it?
Yeah. Is it a tweet?
I'll tell you who sent this later. But, love that Lindor's headed to Queens. Nothing like a vibrant baseball star and season in New York. On both sides of the track. That was January 7, 2021. You know who wrote that?
I'm assuming you.
I did.
Yeah.
So, am I a hater or am I a reactor? See, that's the difference. People, oh, BT's hating on Lindor. No, no, no. No dopes. No knuckleheads. No clowns. What BT's been doing has been reacting to Lindor.
Right. And now you have to react in a positive way.
I'm saying he's playing awesome. I swear to God, he looks great. He looks awesome. He looks like a guy that I want to watch play baseball every night.
I think you just, because I wasn't necessarily disagreeing with you holding him to a higher standard, a higher level of accountability or play. But when you started to say, oh, he should just be exclusively right-handed, and you weren't even alone in that, but I just never, you know, and then saying potentially washed up. And he was looking awful. Like, I don't know how anybody could dispute it, just other than hoping that Lindor's going to right the ship. I did for a long time, and then it just got to a point in mid-May where it was like, good God.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, maybe you worry about he's just never going to get it going here.
Yeah.
But then obviously he kicked into gear at that level. But I never wanted to really give up on him where I felt like you were quicker to dismiss what he could be or even appreciate what he was. Because even though he put up good years the last 2 years, even though he played every single day, and I was looking for the positives in that, you held him just to a higher standard.
I did. And, you know, the notion that, and I'm sure that it's motivated by this to an extent, like, do Met fans think, or did they certainly then, because I'm giving them props, obviously. If not, I'm just a clown.
Right.
And they're just not doing my job. It's unfair at that point. He's been great. You've got to admit it. Not even admit it. You just got to say it. I wonder if Met fans, if some of that energy toward me was because they didn't think I would hold him as accountable if he was on the Yankees. Which is nuts, because if you've ever heard me dissect the Yankees, I hold them more accountable.
Right.
Because it's a little closer to my heart. I'm a Yankee fan.
Like if I
growing up.
I understand. I don't think that there's a bias in there, you know, as far as you holding him more accountable because he's a Met versus a Yankee. Let me just ask you this before we get back to the calls.
I can tell by the tone he thinks he's got something good here.
I just want to ask you a question.
Sure.
See how you answer.
Sure.
This question has come up over the last couple of months, and there was one answer, and I wonder if it's different now.
Okay.
Right now, just 1 year, who would you rather have playing shortstop? Lindor or Volpe?
Can I have Henderson? Can I have Witt?
No, it's Lindor
Can I have Seager?
It's Lindor or the young superstar Anthony Volpe. That's
all
it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Volpe looks like a below-average player across the board, and Lindor looks like a star. He does.
Did I hear Lindor? Is that the answer? Who would you rather have, Volpe or Lindor?
Like, for the rest of the season?
Yes.
Or for the next 7 years?
No, 1 year. Just say it, big boy.
You know. I mean, Lindor's close right now.
And you know what's funny?
Come on.
Literally, this question came up on Baseball Night in New York about a month and a half ago.
Okay, and it was a valid question to put on the rundown because Volpe was great and Lindor was scuffling.
I didn't even think it was valid. I asked it to Will Salmon, who joins the show, whatever, does a great job on the show. He covers the Mets for The Athletic. And he's like, what, are you kidding me? Lindor. And I'm like, what? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, so that's you pushed back too. I didn't catch that one.
I didn't even think it was like a debate. I'd 99% rather have Volpe than Lindor the way that it was going. Like, I know what Lindor brings, but my God. And now you remember I was higher on Volpe than most, thinking he's going to be a superstar and all that stuff. He's falling off a cliff. Lindor's not playing like a superstar. Now I look like the complete idiot. Where there's no way you could say Volpe right now, as scary as that is.
Yep.
As quick a turnaround. But back then I didn't think it was a question the other way. Now it's not a question in favor of Lindor.
All right, let's get back to you guys here, Sal. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal on the fam. We get Mickey in Connecticut. Mick, what's going on, bub?
Hey, guys. Listen, I need some relationship advice, if you guys don't mind.
Okay, pretty good at
that. I'm in a really toxic relationship with the Mets. And at the end of the day, the reason I say that is because, you know, just like every other sweetheart relationship, it starts off good, man. You get a couple runs in, you know, you're late in the fifth, sixth inning, maybe seven runs. And then the bullpen comes in and it's just straight up toxic and abusive.
It is definitely tricky.
But you keep going back every night for more. You know what I'm saying?
Regular
Amen.
Election.
Amen. But you know what I got to say real quick about Lindor? BT,
yeah.
There's a nice seat on the wagon. you know, just jump on, man.
No, I'm good. I don't need to jump on a wagon.
Yeah,
I'll watch. I'll observe. And I will hope that it doesn't change like it often does with Francisco Lindor.
Mickey's welcoming you with open arms, BT, to jump aboard.
On the wagon?
There's a seat on the Lindor wagon.
The wagon of hope?
The Lindor locomotive. Hop aboard.
But what I will say about you, BT, and this is from listening to you guys for, what, a year or two now, right? How long it's been. You're very statistic driven. I don't think you're a hater. I don't think anything under the sun like that. I think you're just all about statistics. If statistics is proven, then you're on it. You're good for it. And you cannot deny, since he's been leading off a 900 batting average.
Since he's been leading off, he looks like at this point, he looks like one of the best players in baseball as a leadoff hitter. The problem, and this is part of the full Lindor picture. Again, it's not year one, not year two, not even three. It's year four. So the reason why he's batting first is because he did nothing in the two hole and he didn't get it done in the three spot. Now, maybe he's just more of a leadoff hitter. You know, I get it.
The pressure was taken off, no question about
it. But how many stars do you have to make such concessions for to get them going? It's kind of my point, too.
Well, I get it.
But he's gotten going, so it doesn't matter as long as he keeps it going.
And to a level of, okay, finally, this is the player that they thought they were getting from Cleveland, and doing it where the Mets aren't 11 games. Like, if you were doing this and there were still 10, 11 games under, to me, it wouldn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're in it right now and are fighting for their, you know, playoff spot, one of the playoff spots, trying to stay above 500, get even better, staying alive until the trade deadline, until they get Edson bullpen help. He's coming up with big hits every single night.
He is. But I could also then say, and listen, maybe it's unfair because even the great, great, great players, statistically great players across baseball, you can pick a spot where they're down and whatever. Even Judge is down now, like Soto. And we'll get to the Yankees mess coming up a little bit here on the Fan with BT and Sal.
Yeah.
But the start that Lindor had, all right, given the general weak state of the NL, I can then flip back to Sal and say, well, if he didn't bat basically 212 for his 230 at-bats, maybe the Mets are six games over 500 instead of back to 500.
See, and I'd rather
both
have
ways.
Right, I don't need him playing at a ridiculous clip right now, chasing to level where he should have been if he just did this to start.
That's well said.
I'd rather have him playing at a high level consistently from April through wherever we are now in July, as opposed to nothing April, nothing the first half of May, and then out of this world, because it is going to level off. He's not going to sustain. Like, come on. He's not going to sustain this pace.
He's top three MVP. Do I expect that? No.
Right.
But that's where he would wind up.
But I do expect he's going to sustain a very high level of play because he's done that the last couple of years, getting the numbers back to where at the end of the year you look back and say, well, those are pretty good seasons after slow starts. So I do think he's going to come down a little bit, but still keep it at a high level. Point is, I'd rather just have it a little even lower from April through the end of the season.
I completely get it. Chris is in Manhattan, BT in South. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Sal, I do love you. Started a show like that, and BT, I give you such credit. You don't hide, and I love you for that, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Two things on the Lindor thing. I think one of your biggest claims early was that, like, he cannot hit left-handed anymore, that he should just hit right-handed, and that obviously has proven not to be necessarily correct. But I got a bigger issue, BT.
Yep.
The thing with the OPS, I hear you. You keep throwing that out there. And, of course, it's a great barometer. But if we look at what Lindor has done as a leader this year, he called a team-only meeting when he was not hitting.
I know.
And the team responded.
Yep.
And that's better than any OPS numbers. I'd rather have a guy on my team any day that can motivate his team and show up like that. I'll take him any day of the week.
I understand that. And, Pete, and thanks for the call there, Chris. And that's part of, you know, who Lindor is. And you know, this has been, I guess, a couple-of-year conversation at this point, and I've always lauded him for the way he ingratiates himself and with the younger kids. I remember seeing videos over the winter with Vientos working on defense. I don't ignore that stuff. That stuff matters to me. And Pete was not there for them. Not Pete's fault. He got drilled by the pitch. Remember, he had to go to the hospital for additional imaging. So Alonso was not in the clubhouse when I believe J.D. Martinez had influence on that conversation. So I believe it was Lindor and J.D., not just Lindor. I could be wrong.
No, I think you're right. And I would also go as far as saying that I think J.D. Martinez has had a big impact on Lindor specifically.
Yeah.
It was. And I don't know. I forget what it was. I thought J.D. Martinez called the meeting and was telling the guys basically, like, take the pressure off.
What's the worst? That we can't do any worse or something like
losing,
that.
Yeah, take the pressure off. We're losing anyway.
Yeah, it was him.
But it was a combination of, like, and this could go back to last summer or the offseason. We talked about two guys to me being potential leaders or captains of this team. Lindor, Nimmo. Lindor, Nimmo. And that is now really shown to be the case here. But the influence of a veteran with J.D. Martinez helping maybe Lindor, I don't know, take the pressure off, figure it out. Maybe Carlos Mendoza, there's an impact there, although Lindor was good with Buck. Something, though, BT, clicked. And it's not just the leadoff spot. Something clicked with Lindor. And now Lindor and Nimmo are paying for meals. And also, and let's not, now we're not trying to make this a big story, but this is the reality. Pete Alonso is taking a backseat here. Where it was, we talked about the core four, where it was Lindor, Nimmo, McNeil, Alonso. No particular order, but just those four guys were the Mets core. McNeil and Alonso are no longer part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care that Alonso's the lone all-star. He's not. He's just not.
But do the Mets believe that?
I do believe that they believe that.
Yeah,
it's
happening. I think you're right.
It's you can't dispute it. It's happening. This is not me making it up. It's if you watch the team, if you get a feel for it, it is a fact that Alonso's impact on this team has been minimized. And maybe Lindor needed that a little bit to take more control of the team because Alonso's here before. I don't know. I don't have the answer.
I know what you're saying.
But it is clear what's gone on here. And Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor are front and center, the clear leaders of this team with some assistance from the veteran J.D. Martinez.
Over-under, 270 average, Lindor.
Now, he's at 250-something right now.
Mm-hmm. He was under 250 going into last night, like 248. And I say that, you know, again, not to turn this negative, but all right, as everybody's popping champagne for Lindor having a good month, you're not even sure if he's going to hit 270 on the season.
So since he's been in the leadoff spot, he's been a 303 hitter.
Been fantastic.
No, but I'm just giving some numbers so like we could figure out the medium, right? Mm-hmm. Or the median. 303 batting average, 903 OPS. That's since he's been in the leadoff spot. That's going to come down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So if that comes down, then aren't his season totals?
Yeah, a little bit.
So that's why I'd probably still say, would you say 270?
I said 270.
I'm going to go under. He'd probably end up 263, something like that.
I would go slightly under as well. And again, to your point before, if you're not asleep for the first 5 weeks of the season, you're hitting 284 maybe instead.
Right.
It's BT and Sal. It's Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show, 888-808-1019. A couple things that we'll get to a little later. There is, I don't know if it's a rumor or reporting. I guess you can classify it as informed speculation. I think it's beyond the rumor. Are the Knicks going to mess around and trade Randall for Karl Anthony Towns?
Hmm.
We're going to get to that.
If they did that, would you miss Hartenstein?
We're going to get to that. You are still sleeping on Hartenstein.
Yeah,
he's going to be missed, buddy. But we'll get to that. Let's get back to these Lindor calls. Listen, it's not hate. It's called reacting. And Lindor's been on an absolute roll. But if he was doing this another couple of weeks, he would have been a locked-out all-star. And the Mets would have a couple of more wins. I love to see it, but let's keep going.
Next year's BT apology show will be in June after the Knicks win it all. You're going to have to apologize for saying they couldn't because they lost Hartenstein.
Oh, man. You're going to turn me into that now? So it's the Mets thing. Everybody knows I love the Knicks. I'm just, the Hartenstein stuff kills me, man. He is so vastly underrated.
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Larry's in Deer Park with BT and Sal. Larry, what's cooking, buddy? How are you?
BT, what's going on? Sal, what's up?
So, Larry.
Hey, man.
So I want to give Lindor his flowers. I mean, two things with him. Like, he's putting him in that leadoff spot. I think I told you guys before, like, we should have did that a long time ago. We should have swapped Nimmo out for him. Because you can see it on the field. Like, Nimmo's better with runners on, you know, RBI-wise. And Lindor just puts too much pressure on himself, you know, in the three spot. Now, you know, with that being said, he has to do better in the clutch. Sal brought it up a long time ago saying that he's clutch. He's actually not. I would kind of put him in the three, you know, as number three, maybe JD first or Nimmo if I need a run. So he has some work to do, but you got to give him his flowers.
He's been clutch late, and I appreciate you bringing that up, Larry, because I felt like this even his first year. Now, maybe it says more about who the Mets have had around him in their lineup, but for years, BT, he would still be the guy that I'd want up in a big spot. maybe because I saw him do it with Cleveland. You're right, against the Yankees. I saw it. I know the potential's there. And I felt like he was just wearing some of the pressure here. But he also, he did it at times with the Mets, just not as consistently as you would have liked. But I still believed that Nimmo could, like, I'd rather have him at the dish over Alonso. Now, Nimmo is starting to get to that where you want him up in a big spot. I mean, Nimmo's been hammering the baseball. Gives you quality at bats, hits with power. But I still think I'd rather have Lindor up than then, I mean, maybe Alvarez is starting to work his way into that conversation.
What about
he's still
JD?
Young. Yeah, JD's
bases
a veteran.
Loaded. Bases loaded down to in Atlanta.
Mm.
You want JD, you want Lindor. I know you don't want Pete. You want the Vientos.
I probably want Nimmo.
Nimmo.
If you ask me, it's just a feel, right? Yep. Like, you've always had that feel. I don't care how old you were when you started watching baseball. You learn, and then you get a feel of confidence in a player when they come up.
For sure.
It doesn't mean that they're going to get it done every time, but there's just a feel of confidence.
Oh, yeah.
If I were ranking the levels of confidence, I'd say probably right now number one has to be Brandon Nimmo. I have a lot of confidence in Vientos as well.
You should.
He's up there. I just feel like he's going to get a base hit. I mean, he's going to figure out a way because he's done that.
Don't forget the guy who turned your season around. JD Martinez.
I know. I'm not there yet, though, with him. There was a hot, when he was on his real hot streak, when they first started to get going.
The walk-off at home, yeah.
I'm not there now with him.
Okay, is he still banged up? Yeah.
I would say my top three, no particular order, outside Nimmo would be one. Nimmo, Lindor, probably Vientos at this point. Even more so than Alvarez, who I love, but just confidence level, those three guys, Nimmo, Lindor, Vientos, I feel like they're going to get a hit now almost every time up.
Well, I know what you mean. Like, even, forget about the Mets for a second, but just as a theory or an overall feeling, like, you can be a great player, and still, when it's certain crunch or clutch moments, not feel fully convicted that the player's going to get the job done. I'll give you a great example. Our guy Patrick Ewing, not to rehash the Olajuwon stuff, more detailed than that. When Ewing went to the free throw late, and you had to have been old enough and lived through this to really feel what I felt, because I know I wasn't alone. When Patrick shot late clutch free throws, I was terrified.
How about...
I think he always missed one.
I never felt that, but again, I was watching
you were younger.
It through
no, you were younger. It was
maybe,
different.
Maybe a different lens. I wanted to love him. I did love him. I felt like
I loved him, too.
I never felt that. How about Judge? I'm not talking regular season. I'm talking big spot. Well, I mean, you could...
There's nobody else I'd rather have up there in baseball than Judge.
Understood, and it's why I've said many times...
Except maybe Bryce Harper, who is clutch.
It's why I've said many times, Judge is the best player that I've ever seen in my life, and I firmly believe that. I know he's cooled off a little bit, whatever, fine. But in a big spot, would you have the same confidence in Judge? You know, he really does. And he gets every pitcher. I understand that. He'll hit good guys too. But he really does get a lot of the numbers against less than pitchers in spots that are not. You see what I'm saying? Like,
well,
spot. I'm not trying to minimize Judge. Don't get me wrong.
Again, I know you're not.
Best player I've ever seen in my life.
So I got
you. Just have that as the standard. But I do feel like at times, big spot, game on the line.
Well, I don't think, listen.
I trust Soto more, I think.
It's funny. You gave me your Mets in order. I would say Judge and Soto 1 and 1A. And then I flip a coin.
Yeah.
Maybe Ben Rice at this point. And we'll get to the Yankees coming up. A-Rod did this. Listen, I think baseball stats are so... so easily manipulatable.
Mm-hmm.
Did that come out right? Manipulatable.
I'm not sure that's a word, but it sounds fine to me.
Sounds, yeah. I mean, I think people know what I mean if it's not, but I'm going to stick with it being a word. Manipulatable. I'm going to stick with that. And I think that it's easy to forget, and God, I almost hate to bring this up because we just lost him, and he's an all-time sporting titan, not just baseball. Willie Mays, you know, in limited postseason action, had like a 590 OPS.
Right.
Ted Williams, who also missed time to service, like Willie and others, didn't play a lot of postseason action back then.
Bonds, Red Sox postseason.
Numbers were not very good for Ted Williams either. I think like 260, or I might be off with him, but not reflective of Ted Williams. So I just think we can kind of cherry pick a little bit. Like, the postseason is unique.
But we've watched Judge. That's the difference.
Yeah, but when he's up there and the Yankees are down or it's a tie, that's the guy that I want up there.
Okay.
Whether it's statistically provable or not,
right.
I have not lost faith in Aaron Judge.
All I would say is my confidence level with him in big spots is not what it is in normal everyday at-bats. In a big spot, game on the line, it's not that I don't want him up there, especially if you look at the Yankees.
Well, what else do you want? You want DJ?
Well, I would take Soto. Soto over him.
Well, what if Soto walks, like you always tell me? I mean, at least you know Judge's going to swing the stick.
Yeah, that is true.
You did say that.
That is true.
You know? You want to apologize for that?
Soto. Oh, baby.
You
season,
still want him?
This season is gone.
You still want him?
This season. He's
hitting 190. His last 20 games, by the way, Juan Soto.
Yeah.
190.
I'll take him in a nice discount now.
You get him back to his old ways, coach him up a little bit.
This season has flipped upside down in favor of your little buddy.
Yeah. Gilligan's having fun.